And Melanie for that ministry and song. Take your Bible again, please, and open it to John's Gospel, chapter 10. I want you to look at verse number 11. And I want us to focus on this verse for a moment or two this evening. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. About 1842, a man by the name of George Clavien, a Scottish lad, went to Canada to seek a new life. Early in his 20s, he stepped ashore the land of Canada. He was an alcoholic when he was in Scotland. He still was an alcoholic in Canada. The change of country didn't solve his problem. He got in company with the wrong people, and he began to spend his money recklessly and foolishly again. One cool morning, he was picked up alongside the road in a state of complete collapse, the result of drunkenness and exposure to the elements. Shortly after that, he died. News of his death reached his hometown of Fife, and the town's people were shocked, but most of all, his sister, who loved him dearly. Elizabeth Cecilia Clavien was a true believer in Jesus Christ. And she longed that her brother, the black sheep of the family, would be gloriously saved. And she never wavered in her conviction that God would save him. The conviction that somehow, in his dying hours, her brother had come to Jesus Christ and been saved, shaped itself into an immortal hymn. She died in 1869. In the year 1871, her hymn, still unpublished, found its way into a Glasgow newspaper. At this particular time, B.L. Moody and Sankey were in Scotland having a gospel campaign. And one day Sankey bought a newspaper at the station, and as he was turning and flicking through the pages of that newspaper, he came across the hymn that Elizabeth Clavien had penned. He clipped it out. He put it in his pocket. He thought to himself that one day he would put a tune to the words of this hymn. That night his colleague, D.L. Moody, was preaching in the great gospel campaign, and he was preaching on Christ as the Good Shepherd. When he finished preaching, Moody turned to Sankey and asked him to come and sing something. Sankey remembered the poem that he put in his pocket earlier that day, and he pulled it out, and he sat it in front of him, and he began to sing, making up the tune as he went along. The tune to which that lovely hymn is still sung. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found the sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. I wonder, could it be tonight, like George Clavien, have you gone astray? I wonder, have you turned your back on God? I wonder, have you turned your back on Jesus Christ? I wonder, have you turned your back on the gospel? Then listen carefully to what the Savior says. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, all through the Bible, you'll find this beautiful picture of the shepherd and the sheep that's presented. Isaiah the prophet says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord Jesus used the same metaphor. He used the same figure of speech talking about the parable of the lost sheep and the shepherd out there on the mountainside, and he sought that lost sheep until he found it. You know something, dear friends, tonight? You and I are sheep, and every sheep needs a shepherd. My friend tonight, is he not a wonderful shepherd? When you think about us being the wayward sheep, and the Lord being the good shepherd. It teaches us the truth that every sheep needs a shepherd, that every sinner needs a Savior. I wonder tonight, have you got a shepherd? I wonder, can you truthfully say, the Lord is my shepherd? Look at this statement for a moment or two in John's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 11. It unfolds to us three wonderful things about our wonderful God. First of all, I want you to notice here that Jesus Christ is God because of who He is. Jesus Christ is God because of who He is. Who is this one who claims to be the Good Shepherd? His identity is beyond question. Now, just in case tonight you step into this service and you don't know who Jesus Christ is, let me take a moment or two and give you a word of explanation. You see, Jesus Christ describes Himself here as the one who is divine in His nature. He's divine in His nature. You see, you and I tonight are sinful in our natures. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I wonder tonight, have you ever discovered that you have a bias towards sin, a bias toward evil, a bias toward transgression? Sir James Simpson, the guy who discovered chloroform, was asked at the end of his life, what's the greatest discovery that you've ever made? He said, the greatest discovery that I have ever made was this, that I was a lost sinner, but that Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, is my Savior. I wonder, have you ever made that discovery? You see, you and I tonight as sinners, we have that bias towards sin, but not Christ. He was sinless, He was spotless, He was absolutely perfect, He was sinlessly perfect, He was perfectly sinless, for He was divine in His nature. The Jewish people to whom Christ spoke here recognized themselves that Jehovah Himself was their shepherd. But now Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. You see, those words spell out deity. You remember when Moses was called of God to lead Israel out of Egypt, Moses asked by what name he would identify God to the people of Israel. And God said unto Moses, tell them, I am that I am. And when Jesus Christ takes this name and He applies it to Himself, He immediately identifies Himself with the God of the Old Testament. That's why John in this passage says there was a division among the Jews. Of course there was a division. They knew their Bible. They knew their Old Testament scriptures. They knew what Christ was claiming when He said, I am the good shepherd. They knew that He was identifying Himself with the God they worshiped, the God they adored, and it was offensive to them. I am, my friends, means that Jesus Christ was, that He is, that He ever shall be God. He was God in the heights of glory. He was God in the womb of the Virgin. He was God on His mother's knee. He was God when He walked this sin-cursed scene of time. He was God when He died on Calvary's cross. Yes, and He was declared to be God, to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. My friend, tonight, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to get right with God, it will take God to save you from your sin. You say tonight, preacher, I'm depending on the ordinances. My dear friends, there is no eternal life in any means of grace, no matter how scriptural that means may be. Salvation tonight is not found in the water of baptism. It is not inherent in the bread and wine of communion. Salvation tonight is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You say to me tonight, preacher, if you only knew my sin, my lifestyle, my transgression, my rebellion, I'm bound, I'm chained, I'm fettered by sin. Listen, Jesus Christ tonight can set you free, for He's the great I Am. He's God manifest in flesh. He's the one who's divine in His nature. Something else, He's the one who's sublime in His position. He says, I am the good shepherd. And the word for good carries the idea of choice and excellent. It carries with it the idea of beautiful, of noble, of blameless. Christ is preeminently the excellent shepherd, far above all who have gone before Him. You know, many great men in the Bible were shepherds. The first shepherd was called Abel. He was a keeper of sheep. He was slain by his brother Cain. Abel speaks of the cutting off of the shepherd. Jacob was also a shepherd. He said to his young brother Esau, the flocks and the herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. That speaks of the care of the shepherd. He cares for the flock. I wonder, as an elder tonight, as an overseer, do you care for the flock? That's the shepherd's job. And then you have Joseph. And the first thing we read about Joseph is he fed his father's flock. That speaks of the concern of the shepherd. Concern that the needs of the flock might be met. You remember Moses. He came to the water of Midian, the well in Midian. And he protected and he watered and he guided the flock. It speaks of the consolation of the shepherd. The fifth shepherd in the Bible is David. Can you see him out there on the mountains and hills of Judea? He's a young man. And he delivers the sheep from the lion. And he delivers the sheep from the bear, from the ravages of the beast. And that speaks of the courage of the shepherd. My friends, there's another shepherd in the Old Testament. He's spoken of in the prophecy of Isaiah. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. He speaks of the Antichrist. He's the counterfeit shepherd. But aren't you glad tonight there's another shepherd? He's the seventh shepherd. And seven is the number of grace. Seven is the number of perfection. And in Jesus Christ tonight, we have the complete shepherd, the good shepherd of John 10. All that Abel was, Christ is to the people of God. All that Jacob was, Christ is to the people of God. All that Joseph was, Christ is to the people of God. All that Moses was, Christ is to the people of God. All that Jacob was, Christ is to the people of God. All that David was to the flock, Jesus Christ is to the people of God. I wonder, have you grasped that? He cares for us. He's concerned about us. He consoles us. With great courage, He delivers us. And at Calvary's cross, I was cut off for you. He's the good shepherd. My dear friend, tonight, will you not meet with Him in saving power? Will you not allow His grace to save you? Will you not allow His mercy to reach you? He says tonight, I am the good shepherd. Jesus Christ is God because of who He is. Something else. Jesus Christ is good because of what He does. You see, He's not just the shepherd tonight. He's the good shepherd. If you want to see how good a shepherd is, watch Christ as He goes to Calvary. Can you see Him as He takes that long and lonely journey to the cross? He does nothing to avoid the cross. He sets His face steadfastly toward Jerusalem. He hands Himself over to those who are going to nail Him to that cursed tree. You say, what's Christ doing at Calvary? He's laying down His life. What's He doing? He's laying down His life for you. To redeem you from sin. To rescue you from the pit of hell. To reconcile you to God. Do you see how good a shepherd He is? He goes all the way to the cross, and at the cross, the shepherd becomes the lamb sacrificed to take away the sin of the world. My friends, tonight let's stand for a moment under the shadow of Calvary. Let's see the purple drops of blood that flow from His hands and from His feet. Let's measure how good the Shepherd is tonight in the light of Calvary. If you look at this verse, you'll notice that the Lord Jesus Himself tells us that He died voluntarily. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. The word giveth in verse 11 is translated in verse 15. I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, Jesus Christ ought not to have died. He was completely innocent of the charges that were brought against Him. He need not have died. He had power to overcome all those who sought to destroy Him. He said of His life, no man taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Jesus Christ on the cross was in charge of the whole thing. Now you and I can never say that. You and I can never say that we're in control. You and I can never say that we're going to decide when we're going to die and how we're going to die. We can never determine the place of our death, the circumstances of our death, the manner of our death. But Jesus Christ was in complete control. He said, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. He died voluntarily. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord Jesus wasn't a victim of circumstances when He died on the cross. They didn't drive Christ up Golgotha's hill, kicking and screaming. The thieves are screaming and kicking, but our precious Savior laid His hands on that cross and He died voluntarily. What a shepherd! The point is this. He volunteered to die, and yet in one sense He had to die, for it was at the heart of God's eternal plan. What amazing grace. His life was not taken from Him. It was given. The Lord Jesus was not driven to Calvary. He was drawn to the cross by love to God and by His passion to save a world that was ruined and lost by the fall. He died voluntarily. Something else. He tells us that He died vicariously. He died in the place of others. We call it substitution. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for. The word for means in the stead of, in the place of the sheep. Isn't that wonderful? You see, in the Old Testament dispensation, it was the sheep that was sacrificed for the shepherd. But now in the New Testament, it's the shepherd who sacrificed for the sheep. Amazing. The shepherd had that in mind when He went all the way to Calvary. The Lord Jesus didn't die as a martyr. He wasn't killed by man. He died as a substitute. He willingly laid down His life for you. He died vicariously. You know someone, do you know someone in this world who would die for you? My friends, here we were condemned to die. We were sinners. We were under the wrath of God. The Bible says we were condemned already. The divine sentence was hanging upon each one of us. There was a step between us and death. And Jesus Christ said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. And there on Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ died willingly, voluntarily, sacrificially, and under the wrath of God. The Bible says that He, the Lord, laid on Him the iniquity of us all, and Christ became a curse for us. I wonder tonight, do you realize that you're a sinner under the wrath of God? That if you die without Christ, you'll go to hell, but that God loves you tonight, not your sin, but your soul, and that Jesus Christ has died for you tonight. He has died that He might open up a way back into the presence of God. There's a way back to God tonight. From the dark paths of sin, there's a door that is open where you can go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. I wonder what's your response to the cross tonight. When you see the Son of God, God manifest in flesh, dying for you, what's your response? He's God because of who He is. He's good because of what He does. He died voluntarily. He died vicariously, but something else. He died victoriously. For twice in the passage, Christ says, I have power, speaking of His life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. You say, Dennis, what's he talking about? He's simply telling us that his death was not only voluntary, his death was not only a voluntary death, it was not only a substitutionary death, it was a victorious death. It was a death that led to his glorious resurrection. My friends, the good news of the gospel tonight is this. The shepherd who died and the shepherd who was buried rose again to be your Savior. He lives tonight. He lives in the power of an endless life. You know, that's the difference between biblical Christianity and all the false religions of the world. All the leaders of the world tonight are buried, probably in some place in the Far East. But Jesus Christ on the third day rose triumphantly and actually and literally from the dead. Would you not like a shepherd like that tonight? One who loves you. One who cares for you. One who will nourish you. One who will protect you. One who will meet your every need. Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. Literally it means this. I am the shepherd, the good one. He's God because of who He is. He's good because of what He does. But here's the third thing. He's great because of whom He saves. He's God because of who He is. He's good because of what He does. He's great because of whom He saves. Do you notice how Christ refers to His people? He calls them His own sheep. He refers to them as My sheep. Can I ask you tonight, are you one of the Lord's sheep? I'm not asking you, are you a Baptist? Are you a Free P? Are you a brother? You could be all of those wrapped up in religion and die and go to hell. I'm asking you tonight, are you one of the sheep? Are you in the flock of God? Maybe you're saying, well, how can I know? You know, the shepherd here gives us certain traits that are found in the sheep. For example, he tells us that those who are his sheep believe his word. Verse 26, but ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. To become one of the Lord's sheep, you must believe on Him and trust Him as your Savior. You ever done that? It was the 22nd of May. The year was 1932, and a lad of 6 years of age was on his way to the children's meeting in the lecture hall of Ballymena Baptist Church. His mother was taking the meeting that evening, and she spoke on this text. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. At the end of the service, when everyone had gone, this young boy of 6 years of age came to his mother and said, Mommy, I don't want to be a lost sheep. I want to be a saved lamb. Together they went back into the old church building and knelt down at an old pew at the back. And there that little boy, in childlike simplicity, prayed the sinner's prayer and trusted the sinner's Savior. And thus began the illustrious priesting career of Dr. Ian Paisley. What about you tonight? Have you believed His word? That word of God that reveals your ruin in Adam and God's remedy in Jesus Christ. Have you turned from your sin tonight
and trusted the Savior. Listen, if you're one of His sheep tonight, you'll believe His word, but something else. If you're one of His sheep tonight, you'll hear His voice. Christ says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them." It's an amazing thing about Eastern sheep that they know the voice of the shepherds. Some years ago, a person was traveling through the land of Israel, and he came across five shepherds, and they were all watering their flock at the same spring, at the same well. And you know, they were all mixed up, these fly flocks. And then one shepherd began to go up the side of the mountain, and he began to call his sheep. And you know, his sheep, they just lifted up their heads, and they wriggled themselves out from the west, and they went in the direction of their shepherd. And then another shepherd called his sheep, and they wriggled out from the rest of the flock, and they went up the mountain following their shepherd, until there were five flocks following five different shepherds, and they all knew the voice of their shepherd. Do you know the voice of your shepherd tonight? Could it be that you're listening to other voices? Dr. Harry Ironside was walking down one of the main streets in the city of Los Angeles one evening with a young Christian, and they encountered a street preacher. And the young believer saw that the preacher who was preaching on the main street had a Bible, and so he stopped to listen. Harry Ironside walked on. He knew that this preacher was a cultist masquerading as an evangelist. And in a few minutes, the young Christian caught up with the old evangelist. And Harry Ironside said to him, "Son, what did you think of that preacher?" And the young believer replied, "All the time I heard him, my heart was saying, 'Liar, liar, liar.'" You see, the sheep know his voice. Are you hearing that voice speaking to you privately in your own quiet time, speaking to you publicly through the ministry of God's word? If you're one of His sheep tonight, you believe His word. If you're one of His sheep tonight, you hear His voice. If you're one of His sheep tonight, you follow His steps. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. You know, in our country, the shepherd always brings up the rear, doesn't he? And he drives the sheep in front of them. But in the East, it's just the reverse. The shepherd goes in front, and they follow him. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus was constantly doing in His ministry as He walked by the Sea of Galilee? And He said to Peter and Andrew, "Follow Me." When He walked by the inland revenue and He saw Matthew counting his money, and He said to Matthew, "Follow Me," and he arose and followed Him. The sheep tonight are those who believe His word, are those tonight who hear His voice, are those tonight who follow His steps. Trying to walk the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. Can I ask you tonight, do you claim to be one of His sheep? Are you following Him? Are you doing His will? Are you going His way? Following His steps. Is that not what our candidates for baptism are doing tonight? They're trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. For surely when we think of believers' baptism tonight, we think of the ministry of the Son of God. Do you ever hear Christians who speak of baptism as a denominational thing? A non-essential of Christianity. I hear it all the time, getting wetter and no better. Baptism, it's just incidental. It doesn't make any difference. My friends tonight, I'm here to tell you that believers' baptism is not incidental, it's fundamental. Don't you ever minimize what God has so maximized. Think of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a ministry of 3.5 years. How did He commence His ministry? By being baptized. How did He conclude His ministry? By commanding baptism in the Great Commission. And since baptism was at the bookends
of the ministry of the Son of God. That should tell you tonight that believer's baptism is a big deal. When we think of baptism tonight, we think of the ministry of the Son of God. We think of the activity of the Church of God. You know, the early believers practiced believers' baptism. What do we find in the book of Acts? That belief and baptism always go hand in hand. They believed, they were baptized. On the day of Pentecost, they that gladly received His word were baptized. In the city of Samaria, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. On the Gaza road, the eunuch believing was baptized. In the jailhouse at Philippi, the jailer believed and was baptized. In the city of Corinth, many of the Corinthians hearing believe and were baptized. It's simple tonight. You hear the gospel. You trust the Savior. You're baptized. You're added to the assembly. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm a simple Christian. There's a wee song that our grandchildren often sing that goes like this. It's been in my mind all week. God said it. I believe it. That's what faith deserves. Heaven and earth shall pass away. His word will always stand. God said it tonight. I believe it. Do you? The ministry of the Son of God commenced, concluded, baptism. The activity of the Church of God, hearing, believe, were baptized. The loyalty of the people of God. For baptism is a vow of allegiance. It's a testimony to our oneness to Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. As you go under the water, we're saying old things has passed away. As you come up out of the water, you're saying, behold, all things have become new. Listen, my dear friends, baptism is simply presenting in pictorial form that the old way of life is finished, that the new way of life has begun. It's telling the world that you belong to Christ and that by God's grace you mean to serve Him all the days of your life. Now let me ask you, I wonder tonight, does the Savior have to put a question mark over your love for Him? Here's what He says. If you love Me, keep My commandments. After all, He is the great I Am. He's God manifest in flesh. Does He therefore not deserve our allegiance, demand our compliance, desire our obedience? See, here is water. What doth hinder thee to be baptized? Jesus Christ is God. Because of who He is. Jesus Christ is good. Because of what He does. Jesus Christ is great. Because of whom He saves. I wonder tonight, is this shepherd your shepherd? John McNeil, the well-known evangelist, was preaching many years ago in the Royal Albert Hall in the city of London. A lady of very high standing had prevailed upon an eminent scientist who was very agnostic to attend. The subject was the Good Shepherd. Sometime later, that scientist wrote to the lady and said this, I have heard John McNeil preach several times. And I will say this, I am no longer unbelieving. The shepherd has found his sheep. What about you? The good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, came for you. He died for you. He shed His blood for you. He rose again for you. He lives to be your Savior and shepherd. Has He found you? Have you found Him? Is your testimony tonight, for I am His. He's mine. Forever. And forever. Let's pray.